सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ सो वी कंटिन्यू अवर छांदोग्य उपनिषद एथ चैप्टर द कन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन इंद्र एंड प्रजापति यस्टरडे आई टोल्ड यू ब्रीफली the entire story. So, after observing the life of a brahmachari for 32 years, Indra and Virochana both come to Prajapati. We want to know the self. What is the nature of the self? It has no old age, it has no disease, it has no death. That means it has also no birth. Shadvikara is not there. So, then he says, how to know this self? So, he says, go and look at each other in your eyes. And they go and look. Then they, what do they see? If you look into other person's pupil, what do you see? Your own reflection. They understood. Then they said, slight doubt was there. We can see reflections in many mediums, in mirrors, in pool of water, anything that can reflect, smooth, a smooth surface, even granite, finely polished granite, you know, in Bangalore, Karnataka, granite is available, buildings, you stand in front, just like a mirror, so polished. So, is this the self? Yes, that is the self. That is the real self. That is what Prajapati told him. So they had doubts. So bring a pan of water and dress yourself, decorate yourself nicely and go and look at the reflection in the water. So they look, the reflection looks exactly like what? If they had black hair, it will show black hair. If they had white hair, it will show white hair. If there is black and white hair, it will show black and white hair. So they saw. That is the self. Prajapati taught that is the self. And then both of them bowed down to him. Now we have self-knowledge. And then they went away. And then Virochana never came back. He went, he understood that our body, because what do you see when you stand in front of the mirror? Your body. As you, exactly as you are dressed in, exactly according to your age, exactly according to your mood, moody, moodaha. He who is a moody fellow is a moodaha. Like that. Then Virochana, he took this body as the self. He never reflected. What was the description of the self? The description is, it is not born, this body is born. It doesn't change, this body is changing. How can he never thought about it? Then he said that you decorate it, you feed it well, drink, dance, have all the pleasures of the life. And that is the self. So ever since, people who do that decoration, go to beauty parlor and all that, they are considered as come from the lineage of Virochana. Yeah, Virochana. Telugu lo koncham. Virochana. Different words have got different distinctions. Okay. So there is a deep meaning in what he said. before we come to the real talk, I want to reflect. You know we are the body. But we do not see the body as it is. Have you ever noticed it? None of us ever look at any object in this world exactly as it is. It all depends upon other people's opinion, reflection from the other people. When did you ever say, I am beautiful whatever I am? Only a baby says, baby is most beautiful because its beauty comes from its face, that innocence, its complete identity. It accepts itself totally. It doesn't think 100 times whether I am acceptable to my mother, am I fit to go into my mom's lap or not. She never thinks. That is why babies are so lovable. They accept. When we don't accept ourselves, how can others accept us? Peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah.
First comes self-acceptance. Whether it is in spiritual life, that is the truth. If we don't accept ourselves, how can God accept us? We have to accept ourselves. Then only honesty will come. That is called truthfulness. Okay. So, why did he say that you look into each other's eyes? There is a psychology there. What did I say just now?
Yeah.
Nobody looks at any object in this world as it is. We all look. If some critics say, this dress is the most wonderful dress, tomorrow a million people will go and buy that dress. So if you put the, it's peculiar, hairstyle. So like cactus. All over. Men, like cactus. All over. You ask that person, how do you consider you? He says, this, I am the most beautiful person, fashionable person in the world. Where did he get that idea? Only he saw some other fellow. He admires somebody. And whatever that admirer does, like that story I told you, Paris, there was a cine actress. And one day, she was in the downtown, what you call downtown. So she was in a hurry, she wanted to buy something while getting down. That one shoe was caught in the car. So she was in a hurry, she went with one shoe only to the... And 1,000 people instantaneously recognized her, threw away the other shoe.
Oh my God.
There's Aesop's fable also is there. And one fox lost its tail. And then it went and preached. I came just now from the city. This is the latest fashion. And most of the other foxes deliberately cut off their tail just so that to be fashionable. So, we are soliciting the opinions of other people all the time. Why can't we have our own opinion about ourselves? Unfortunately, we go by the societies. That is why man is a social animal. What does that statement mean? Does it mean that he seeks only society? What does it mean? He wants to be one among the crowd. If 10 people are misbehaving, he also wants to misbehave, to be acceptable as a normal person. This is our society. And that is the reality for him. So, probably Prajapati may be having this idea that what everybody else considers as nice, as beautiful, as good or as bad, that should be your standard if you are living in that sense. So, what is the point here? The point is there is a body and we are identified with that body. And if we think just that body, yes, this is a body, it is like this. That should be the reality, isn't it? But we add to that. What reality means, what? One definition of reality is about unchanging. Another definition of reality is that which affects us is a reality. If there is a rope and you see it as a snake, then it creates fright in you. Which is the reality now? Rope is the reality or snake is the reality? Snake is the reality. So that's another definition, is that which affects us. That's reality for us. We are not talking about the final reality. That is the reality for us. And actually that is the final reality for us at this moment. So we are all behaving according to that standard. So what Prajapati wants to tell, this he is talking about this body. This body is functional in which state? Waking state. This body is functional only in the physical body. External body is functional where? Only in the Jagrat Avastha. So this Jagrat Avastha is possible in which world? Sthula Prapancha. Sthula Sharira is functional, gross body is functional only in this gross world. So these points we have to keep in mind. Gross body, gross world. And that state in which the gross body functions in the gross world. What is that state called? These are interrelated. The gross body will not be functional in the Swapna Avastha or in the Sushupti Avastha. This gross body is functional only in this world. And that state by its very nature is termed as Jagrat Avastha. Now what is the problem with this Jagrat Avastha?
Maharaj, some of them walk in the dream, right, Maharaj?
Yes.
Then this gross body is functional.
No, some of us dream that we are walking in dream. Right, Maharaj? It may not be right. You may be walking in the wrong direction too. Your walking is right. But the point is, it is not the gross body which is not walking.
Maharaj is asking a different question, Maharaj.
In what is called that day, in sleep, sleepwalking. So the point here to note it, that is a physical body which is functioning
in the physical world.
But so far as the owner of that body is concerned, he is not in this world. He is in a different world. We are talking about when the owner is present here and what he is experiencing. That is the state we are analyzing. So in that, if you make that point, you seem to be having a peculiar idea because of his question. Why are you sleepwalking? The body is lying. Anybody can see that body lying.
Yes.
Is it not? What is the difference whether it is lying or walking? What difference does it make?
With respect to me.
It can also eat. Or it can be also. No. It can also eat. Or it can also be.
Eaten.
Yes, when a tiger sees it, it doesn't eat your dream body. So, what is the point we are discussing? When we are in this waking state, there is a big problem there. The problem is, we are 100% sure that this is the only state of reality. Somehow that illusion is coming that this is the real state, reality, state of reality. Whereas dream state and dreamless state is not a state of reality. Is that point clear?
Yeah.
Do you think that when you are dreaming, yes, that is real. But the moment you come back, you think this alone is real. The argument given against this, or in support of this, is that nothing changes. It is a false argument. But the pace of change is very slow. You come back from the dream state, you see the same house, you see the same husband. You may not wish to see the same one, but unfortunately you see the same husband and all those things. So persistently we are having that. So there are three reasons why we can. First of all, when we come back from the dream state, it seems as though we just start from where we left off. Exactly. The second reason that we think it is real, because even though it is changing, it appears to be changeless. But we do notice the change, but at a very slow pace. You know, after 10 years, slowly one silver streak, then another silver streak. So we do notice change, and we do our best to cover this change and make think that it is we are changeless. But a time will come when we have to own that yes, it is changing. There is nothing. Others also will remind us that we are changing. Yeah. Others also remind us that we are changing. That's why somebody was telling, you are traveling every day in the bus and nobody gives you a place. Nobody gets up and says, sir, please take. But one day suddenly we enter into the bus, and then as soon as somebody sees, somebody jumps up and says, sir, please take my seat. And for a moment you are very happy because somebody is recognizing my worth. Then you realize why they are giving up their place, vacating their place. You have become old. Yeah, previously there were senior citizens, very honorable, old man, very bad name. Senior citizens, very good. But back to the basics. Now I heard that the children call the parents 5-year-old ancient. Ancient. It is worse than calling them old. So, what is the second point? Though change occurs, because it is the change is recognized as a slow change. And that is why we feel that this is. The third reason why we consider this as real, because there is some truth in it, that real habits or samskaras can be done only in the waking state and not in the other states. Of course, we don't do anything in the deep sleep state. But even in dreams, we only experience our samskaras, but we don't make any new samskaras. It is only in the waking state. Also, we can clearly analyze the other two states. In which state? Only in the waking state, you can clearly study, analyze the dream state and also the dreamless state. So this is the nature of the
Maharaj, dreamless state also we can analyze.
You very vaguely. One thing I never noticed, that in dream state I do not remember whether I ever thought about dreamless state. I do not remember. But it is possible to have a dream. That's why dream in a dream state.
Yeah, dream in a dream.
When you wake up in a dream state, is it what a horrible dream I had, good dream I had, in dream itself. Then you wake up and say, I had a dream in which I had a dream. But this is the state where we can very clearly sit, focus and study the other two states. But most important is sadhana, study of philosophy, deep thinking. All these are possible in which state?
Yes.
Only in the Jagrat Avastha. Realization is possible in which state? Jagrat Avastha. Why? Because this is much, much more persistent than the other two states. But Sri Ramakrishna does mention that Siddhi can occur in dream state too. You know, Kripa Siddha, Hatat Siddha, like that he gives. It is true. And dreams also, one can have visions. One can see gods, goddesses talk, and it corresponds to reality. Example, you know, Kshudiram, he was dreaming that Raghuveer appeared to him and showed the exact spot where he is to be found. So Kshudiram woke up, recognized that place, and took the Raghuveer Shila and took home and examined. There was a snake also there. Yeah, that is the thing. Let us analyze.
Same thing as like Ashokanandaji getting mantra in the dream.
That I have not heard. He is getting sleep in a dream. He said he was meditating. I don't know whether you read somewhere. I don't remember. He was meditating. He entered into a kind of semi-conscious state in which he felt, he was not certain. This he did not say it was Swamiji. He felt Swamiji came and then infused his spirit into him. Then he went to Raja Maharaj. Raja Maharaj was there. Then he said, Swamiji had initiated you. I do not need to initiate you. Then he had doubt. Then he went to Mahapurush Maharaj. So it is not a dream, but what I am saying, other than Jagrat Avastha, it is possible to have some experiences in the other states too. It is possible. Why is it possible? That is because Jagrat Avastha, from the highest point of view, Jagrat Avastha is as unreal a state as any other state. So if some nice thing can happen in Jagrat Avastha, why can't it happen in dream state also? In fact, in dream state, there is more possibility of having a supernatural experience than in waking state. The reason is that there is no... That reason is absent. The reason is absent in dream state. Here we say, I am an unworthy fellow. How can Sri Ramakrishna come? And if Sri Ramakrishna comes, and then we say, are you Ramakrishna? Prove it first. And then only I will see whether I can accept or not. You see the point? Because we have so many problems. Whereas in dream, that reason practically takes leave of us. Imagination is more prevalent in dream rather than hard facts. Why is it so?
Because no limitation.
Mind.
Conscious mind is not.
No. My question is, why is it reason is so strongly influential in waking state and not in dream state?
We feel the consequence is more in real, I mean, in physical state than
cause. And I think we are in more control in the dream state. We are in more control of our subconscious mind than
not really. But why it is in the waking state, we have to correspond the hard facts. A wall is a thick concrete wall.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas in dream, it's very much more fluid. We have more freedom there. So, the reason is not that rigid there. You change very quickly everything.
Maharaj, in the...
Do you follow what I am trying to tell you? What I told you? What did I tell you?
The form itself is very concrete. The idea of a form is very concrete and tangible in the physical world, in the waking state.
Yeah, why is it?
Because that's your experience.
No. Before we go into that discussion, let us discuss, make one more point clear. What is the difference between dream and waking state? Dreams, when you are dreaming, that dream is experienceable only by yourself, by nobody else, and by those people whom you create in the dream.
Right.
In the Jagrat Avastha, it is experienceable by everybody. So this room is a room, not only for me, but for everybody else. Therefore, we have to coordinate that fact with another, if a vision comes. Is this vision as real, as concrete as this room? So, if it is a dream, same room will be there, same vision will be there, but there is no outside concrete evidence, there is no need, because I am the only perceiver.
No,
there is no external reality.
Mm.
That is the advantage.
But you feel others' emotions in the same way like in the waking state, knowledge?
In dream state.
Yes, ma'am.
You feel exactly the same, but of the people whom you created in the dream state. Here, you see, I have not created you. So, your emotions are totally different from me. I am not creating your emotions. I have absolutely no control over your emotions. But I can create emotions in others in my dream world. So, it is a very subtle point.
Is it the same thing apply for the dream, the subtle experiences in the dream and the subtle experiences after death, before we take up another body?
Hmm.
There, that subtle world, if other people are there in the subtle world, they can...
No. These are two separate worlds we are talking about.
Huh.
Our dream is a private world.
That's what I'm...
That is only individual private world.
Huh.
But after death, just like this Jagrat Avastha world, there is another world which is populated by our sukshma mind,
yes,
and that world is independent of your creation. It is not your creation, it is God's creation.
So,
you see, that's why if you go to Swargaloka, Swargaloka is not your creation, it is God's creation. You go there and you experience. That is why the others can curse you, and it comes true. Yes, we see Puranas, we see somebody say this, Arjuna was cursed by his grandmother. No, grandmother.
Grandmother.
He called her grandmother, that's why she got angry. He called her ancient. That's why she got angry. May you become a Napumsaka, like that. Then his father commanded her, no, this is our man, you modify your curse. So she turned it into a blessing, that for 1 year and you will become a Napumsaka, real Napumsaka. And then that way Arjuna was not recognized by anybody as Arjuna. Okay, what is the point we are making here?
In
Jagrat Avastha. We are talking about Jagrat Avastha. In Jagrat Avastha, if any form comes, we want that form as concrete as any other form. That is where we compare it with others. That's why if Ramakrishna comes, and so if Ramakrishna comes in dream, then it is much more acceptable because we alone are to contend with. Whereas here, you have to say, are you as real as the other person?
Absorption.
Do you get the point?
Mm-hmm.
And that is why this is called, this Jagrat Avastha is experienceable by all of us. If here is a table, that table is seen not only by me, but everybody else. When you are dreaming that you are seeing a table, your dream table is seen only by yourself and by everybody else who is in your dream.
Right.
And that dream world is created by you.
Nice.
How do you know? Because the moment you come out, the whole world is
gone.
Whereas here, whether you close your eyes or you are in dream or dreamless state, the world will go on irrespective of in which state you are. Right?
Well, I have a question.
Hmm.
Suppose a pure soul has a vision of Sri Ramakrishna in the dream. And somebody like any of us here, like me, suppose I am, but then I'm not a pure soul, so my dream is a hallucination, right?
I didn't understand your question.
The same vision of any gods, goddesses or incarnation in the dream, you said, is it the same for a pure soul versus a non-pure soul? Experience.
You have not put the question properly.
No.
What you have to do is, you have a vision, a pure soul has a vision.
Right.
Is there any difference between these two visions?
Dream, though.
Whatever state.
Yeah,
whatever. Dream,
whatever state.
Dream or whatever.
Oh.
Here also we can have hallucination.
Yeah.
If it is done here, it is.
Hallucination.
When a vision comes here.
Ah.
For ordinary people, we call it hallucination.
Right.
And there is no difference between dream. If it is in dream, you call it dream hallucination.
Huh.
If you call physical Jagrat Avastha, you call it hallucination.
Right.
Otherwise, there is no difference. So, what we have to understand is, when a pure soul has a vision, it is not a hallucination.
It is
reality. He is experiencing it.
Right.
Whereas, when we people have, it could be a real vision. It could be hallucination.
Right.
We have to decide whether it is a hallucination or it is a vision. How do we do it?
Transformation.
How do we do it? Let me first give an example. Supposing, there is an imaginative person and one day he is sitting there and then a vision comes there that another hefty fellow with a big gadha, not gadha, gadha, gadha and gadha, there is a difference, a big mace, he comes and then he gives a big blow on your head. This is a person is having. So how do we know whether it is hallucination?
What is that?
What did I say? How do we know?
We know.
Not how do we know. Not how do you know. Because if it is a hallucination, I will also know, you will also know. Because after that, you are there to tell it is a hallucination. But if it is real, then we know it is real. So, this is I'm putting it funnily. What it means is, if it is a real vision, it will have a real effect. If it is a hallucination, you will get a little joy and then it disappears. And there is not much change in you. So this is how we decide whether it is real.
In the waking state for us, an experience like a vision may not be real, like we discussed, depending on how pure we are. So
No. Don't use that word pure or impure.
Okay.
If you are using pure or impure, you are talking about a vision from a subjective point of view. We are not talking subjective point of view. Here is a vision. Is it a real vision or a hallucinatory vision?
No, so my point was, it is said that in the dream, experiences are as an extension of the waking state. Experience.
We will come to that. First statement you made, a pure soul and an impure soul.
Okay, I take it back. But my question was, it is said that our dream experiences are like an extension of the waking state experiences.
Not extension, re-experiencing the accumulated memories.
Processing.
So, given that, the experience, the vision that we have in the dream could be as real as the waking state experience, of a vision, let's say. So at least it could be same, right? It could be a concoction of something else.
No. You are confusing issues. Let us first discuss what we have started with. Pure soul, impure soul. Don't bring into consideration. Here is Ramakrishna, here is somebody XYZ. They have a vision. Now, how do you measure whether it is a real vision or we are not talking about pure or impure? That's why I gave that illustration. That's a very good illustration. So, even if Sri Ramakrishna thinks it is a his vision, if it is hallucination, nothing happens to his head. But if it is a real vision, then something happens either to irrespective of pure soul, impure soul, head will smash. You understand? That is a reality. Do you understand now?
Yes.
If it is not real, it doesn't affect it both of them. If it is real, it affects both of them. So even an impure soul becomes pure because of that vision. From an objective point of view, if it is real, it will have real effect. If it from the objective point of view, if it is not real, it will have no effect even on a pure soul. At best, he may think it is very nice, inspired, and go forward. Beyond that, nothing else. It is as good as you read a story, you see a cinema, it is effective. So the same rule applies to dream also. If God or some higher being really appears to you in the dream, the effect will be very real, very permanent. If it is just your imagination like any other object, it is instead of imagining a table, you are imagining a God. That shows you have some good samskaras. It shows, otherwise you can't even imagine. But its effect will not last long. Is that point clear? So never judge a vision saying that whether it is subjective or objective. If it is real, it will have an effect.
Okay.
If it is not real, it will not have effect either on Ramakrishna or ourselves. Yeah, as simple as that. Yes.
Maharaj, what role does belief in the vision play? Like if it's an unreal vision, but if he believes it to be true, would it have an impact?
It will have a temporary effect. Why is it so? This is why I'm telling you. It is your belief which brings that effect. But belief is subject to change. The moment that belief is washed with something else, then immediately the effect of that vision also will go shattered. That is it. But if it is a real vision, it has nothing to do with your belief. It will be, if it is a real ghost, it will be whether you believe it or not, it will sit on your head. Yeah, it will do that. Do you see the point? That's why there is a reality, there is our imagined reality. So our sadhana is to correspond our imaginary reality to the real reality. This is called sadhana. For that we have to change. Why do we need to change? No. Change why? Because if we see real God, then you can this body mind has to change. If it is imaginary, you don't need to change because you created it. But if God has shown himself to you, then he will recreate you. That he will mould you. So that is the way we know it. But in any case, even if it is shortly imaginary vision, a vision is always, it is a good thing. So we have faith that there is something concrete other than this concrete world. To that extent, it is good. That's why Swami Brahmanji says it is a good milestone. It shows you that we are slowly progressing towards the reality. Okay, let us come back to our subject and discuss a little more. First thing, three things we said. What is that? Sthula Sharira, Sthula Prapancha and Jagradavastha. Okay, what is this Sthula Prapancha? This two, this Sthula Deha and Sthula Prapancha, gross body and gross world are related. They are made up of the same elements. What are those same elements? Space, air, fire, water, and the earth. Point clear? It's all. Whatever is outside, it is exactly the same. The body is. And these two are exchanging all the time. This, we are also giving something. We are also receiving something. So this is how the world is going up. That is why it has a special name. This sharira is called Pancha Bhautika Sharira. What does that mean? Pancha means pancha. Bhautika means gross. Bhautika means external gross elements.
Made. Bhut means gross.
Bhuta means pancha bhut. Yes, ghosts are also there. That is, they are called bhutas. But we, here we are not talking about ghosts. We are talking about five elements. Five elements. So the whole gross world is made up of five elements. That is why anything that comes out of the gross world is also made up of the constantly it is like, you know, a wave. A wave has come out of water. Again it goes into water. So this is how the changes take. What is the difference? What is the relationship between a wave, a ripplet, a ripple and then the water? If it is a small part of the water separated, that is called ripple. And if the whole we are referring, that is called
wave.
Water. Which is straight are you? That is called water. Okay. What the other point also I told you, this is gross jagradavastha purna vikasa. Why purna vikasa? We have three bodies. Karana sharira and sukshma sharira and sthula sharira. In the jagradavastha, all the three are equally functioning. The mind also is functioning and the background karana sharira is also functioning. That is why it is called purna vikasa, full manifestation. Whereas, to understand this point, if you are in the dream state, it is called ardha vikasa, half manifestation. Why the gross world is?
Not
totally absent. Why is gross world totally absent? Because the gross body is not functioning any longer. Five sense organs do not function any longer. That is why it is called artha vikasa. When we are in the sushupti state, it is avikasa. Means there is no manifestation at all. So this is an important point. This is called Purna Vikasa. That's the first point. Second, what for? to understand, to analyze this state, we say, what for is this state created by God? There is a reason. What is that reason? You see, these points are beautifully analyzed systematically, scientifically, in a book called Tattva Bodha. We have never studied Tattva Bodha. It is worth studying in some place. It is a small book. And that is the foundation of this, all the things we are talking about. Tattva Bodha.
Yeah.
Some people say Shankara, some people say somebody else. It doesn't really matter. All the technical terms are, or Sadanandas, is what is that? Vedanta Sara. But this Tattva Bodha is much more concise and very precise. Yeah. Okay. So what for? What is its usefulness? So it is for, this body is called bhoga ayatana, an abode of experience. Experience of what? Experience of our karma phala. Karma phala consists of both sukha and dukkha. So to experience the results of sukha and dukkha, this physical body is very necessary. Okay. What is the nature of this body? Because if we understand the nature of the body, it is like you are cooking rice. You know, 10 minutes passed. You want to know whether food, the rice is cooked or not. What do? You take, how many grains you take?
One.
Just one grain. That means if you understand the condition of one grain, then you understand the condition of? So if we understand the condition, the nature of one, any one single object, then every object that is in the waking state would have exactly the same nature. So we take our body. What is the nature of this body? It is subjected to change. And this change is subdivided into how many parts? Six parts. That is why six fold change we call it Shad Vikara. What are these Shad Vikara? First is Asti. You know, first the body is formed. Then Jayate, it is confirmed. if it doesn't, if the bubble, you know, first they say when the cells meet, just like a foam, just like bubble. If it doesn't burst, then it is confirmed. That is called Jayate. Asti Jayate. The third stage is called Vardhate. It grows. And growth, as we all know, is of two types. Vertical and horizontal. Vertical and horizontal. By the age of about 20 or so, vertical growth stops. And after that, horizontal growth starts. You will have to be happy, at least there is some growth in there. Some improvement is there. So, what is the third one? Vardhate, vardhate. Then the fourth change is viparinamate. Thereafter, you know, growing. After growing, the changes start coming. First slow and a little bit faster and very fast, like that. That is, what is that called? Viparinama, visesha rupena parinama. This happens. Then after that, the fifth stage is called apakshiyate. It is fast approaching the state of disintegration, you know, getting destroyed. Then a time will come, it is called vinashyati. Vinashyati means total. How many? Asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. These six are called Shad Vikara. This is the nature of every single object in this world. What is its lifespan? We are talking about the body. Why body? Because our world doesn't exist. The stula prapancha doesn't exist without the instrument of the stula sharira. So what is its lifespan? We call it lifespan. How long will it last? One lifespan. It could be 1 minute. It could be 150 years. It could be 100 years. This is very important. Because on this is based the nature of mind, etc. We'll come to that. So, one lifetime. One lifetime also is understood in two ways. One lifetime. See, every creature has got its own lifespan.
Right. Right.
You know, a dog lives for 20 years. And an elephant may live for 100 years. And some trees will live for 2000. Even now there are olive trees which might have witnessed the birth of Jesus Christ, or even ancient than that. There are some trees. So some animals live for, some tortoises live 500 years or things like that. So every creature has got, a mosquito on the other hand lives very, a virus, life of a virus for a, no, may not be even 1 day, maybe for a few minutes, for a few moments. And then the cells in the body, live cells, maybe also for a few moments. So everything has got. So for, suppose take the example of say a dog. So a dog's normal lifespan is what we call its lifespan. But it might die after birth or accident and at any point in that lifetime. These are the two ways of measuring what, how long does the body last. The only answer is as so long as it lasts. So long as it lasts. This is what we have to understand. What is the experience of this sthola prapancha? Sthola prapancha is experienceable by everybody. I can see your body, you can see my body, we can see everything that is in this world. So, what is the speciality in comparison with the other states? We already discussed. Somehow we have that persistent idea, this is the reality. And in comparison to this, the dream state and dreamless state all is, are not at all. We don't say this is 100% real, that is 5% real. We say it is totally
unreal.
Why do we say? I gave three reasons. What are the three reasons? First is, the change is perceived less in this waking state. You go to sleep and then when you wake up, you see that you have the same house, same people, same books and same job, etc., etc., etc. What is the second that we said? We are slow in perceiving the change. Even though six changes are taking place, we are very slow to see the changes. What is the third point we made? All the samskaras can really be created
only here.
That's why we can change ourselves, not in a dream, not nothing at all in the dreamless state, but we can deliberately, consciously, willingly can change ourselves either for good or for bad. That point clear? And this is what gives us the illusion that this is the reality. Okay, now we will come to the point. You have a question? Nothing? You lifted your hand? Okay. So, you see the point? So, why with all these arguments that this is the reality, they are contradicted by the scripture and also experience. Why? Because if this is the reality, first point is it should never change. What is the definition of reality?
Change.
Never changes. But it is all the time changing. You know, we go to dream state. When we go to dream state, this state has disappeared. That means this reality has come to an end. That reality started. And when we come to waking state, that reality has disappeared.
Yeah.
And that waking reality alone is real. So this is the strongest argument, which says that you cannot consider it as really real if you are a thoughtful person. Point clear? So why do we need to know that this is not a real thing? So first, for two reasons. First reason is, if this is the reality, then this is, there is a law. Law is, all of us, whether we are wise or otherwise, we are all seeking reality. Nobody, if you ask somebody, here is a false coin. Do you want false coin? You know, supposing there are false notes, false currency notes. Real $1 note and false $1 million note. Which one would you choose?
Real $1. No,
we
can use even $1 million
fake
dollars and sell
them out and get $1 more than $1. I did not have that information before. Now I will update my information.
Games, like Monopoly game or some other game.
Oh, sorry. No, this is, we are trying to make a point. we are not after real money. When we play for real money, you will be my assistant. Yeah. I will give 5% of whatever winnings I have. Okay, what is the point we are making now? The first point, no one wants unreality. And consistently we are experiencing the unreality of this waking state by going into dream state and dreamless state. And also in the waking state itself, we are realizing the changes that are taking place, of which we are not at all happy. No, but no young man or young woman wants to be known as middle-aged, let alone old-aged.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the truth. We know none of us want. But unfortunately, there is no remedy. So far, there is no remedy is possible. Yeah. So, this is the one reason I give. What is the second reason? Second reason is, even though we are considering this as reality, this reality is not really not satisfactory. None of us are happy. So, by nature, by definition, what is reality? That which always, we don't want to change it. When do we reach that state? We say, this is a state, I don't want any change from this state. When do we say that? When it is absolutely perfect. That means there is no desire. You see the point? Conscious, worldly person, spiritual person, consciously, unconsciously, we are all searching for it. That is the second reason. Does it exist? So that is where our scriptures tell us, if it doesn't exist, we would not even desire. If there is a desire, there is that desirable object is somewhere there. If you are desiring God, there is a God.
Yes.
This is the law. Otherwise, the idea will never come. This is Swami Vivekananda's explanation. So if you are not divine, then why are you desiring to become divine? By the way, when are you not desiring to be divine? Is there any second when you say, I do not wish to be divine? Do you have such a moment? You are not saying it in those words. You are saying, I want to be, I don't want to die, I don't want to be ignorant, and I do not want to be unhappy. All the time, we are saying this all the time. We are seeking for that.
Yeah.
Okay, simple question. Why do you want to breathe?
To live. We don't have a choice. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, you have a choice. No. Not only you have a choice, I also have a choice. We have a choice. People can commit suicide. Not only that, other people can come and kill. Yeah, yeah. It's happening all the time. So, there is a choice. But there is a choiceless choice. No one wants to die. Why is it that, why are you breathing? Why do you want to breathe? You want to live. That is it. Have you ever said that I will breathe so that I will die? It doesn't come to us. Even a person who wants to commit suicide, it is not because he wants to die. It is because he thinks this is the only way to escape some pain, some suffering, for which there is no remedy. Otherwise, a happy person never wants it to come to an end, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the truth. Nobody can deny it. Even an atheist can deny it. Okay. So, what is the point we are discussing? The very fact that we are breathing, the very fact that we are acting. What is the end of any activity, goal of any activity? We want to live. First thing is we want to live. If it is a choice between unhappiness and living. Yeah. You see, if it is a choice between being happy and being dying, either you will be happy or you will die. You pick up one. Which one people will pick up? No. People will pick up, first I want to be alive. Yeah. Even if we are not happy, we want to be
alive.
This is the first choice. Always. Of course, unbearable pain, then people say, it is too much. I will give up. I'm talking about normal this thing. Okay. So, why is it this desire is there? It is there not only in human beings, it is there every creature. Even you press a mosquito, it will try to wriggle, it tries to wriggle. That is the point Swami Vivekananda makes. A huge locomotive is running. A small insect is on the railway line. It struggles, wriggles, try to get out of the locomotive. Who is greater?
The insect.
Because it is consciously struggling to do something to escape death and unhappiness, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the locomotive has absolutely no consciousness. Yeah. See, what is the point we are making now?
Reality.
Why is this desire? That is the point. Why do you want to be alive? Why do you want to be happy?
That's the nature.
So I'll put it, why do we want to be happy? Then you can apply it to why do you want to know? Why do you want to be alive? So you see, you ask a person, why do you go to college? Why do you want to get degrees? So I want to have knowledge. You can ask, why do you want to have knowledge? So that I can have a good job. Why do you want to have a good job? So that I can get married and I can have children. So why do you want to get married? So I want to be happy. You can go on questioning until that state, why? But you can't question, why do you want to be happy? That is why, where you cannot question a state, that is called intrinsic value, not instrumental value. An instrument is for the sake of somebody else, something else. Intrinsic means it is a value in itself, by itself. So, why do you want to be happy? You cannot question that way. That is our nature, because there is no answer comes. I want to be happy because I want to be happy. That is all. Same thing applies. Why do you want to be alive? So, usually our answer is, why do you want to be alive? To be happy. But logically, that is not a correct answer. Correct answer is, because I want to be alive. I want to know. But because we are not deep thinkers, unless I am happy, I don't want to live. That usual conclusion. No, that is not true. Given a choice between some suffering and life, we always choose, even if I am not happy, even if I have to go through some amount of suffering, I would prefer to be
alive.
Yeah. Like that glutton, Bengal. There was a feast. A feast is going on. And some poor people were sitting outside. So one fellow, after eating, he was coming out. So people outside, this fellow, ek chebalo, has eaten very full. So he was unable to speak. I tell him, no. Not me, somebody who has eaten more. So after 2 minutes, they saw one very fat fellow, and two other fat fellows were supporting him. He put his hands on their shoulders and they were literally dragging him. The outside fellow said, this fellow has really eaten. He said, no.
Oh my God.
So they were waiting. Then they saw four fellows carrying a fellow on a cart. This fellow has eaten. He was unconscious.
Unconscious?
they kept him, called him a homeopathic doctor. And homeopathic doctor came and examined him and said, no, he has eaten too much and that's why he fell unconscious. So, I will give you 2 homeopathic pills. He would be all right. By that time, that fellow became slightly conscious. So he heard that he can take 2 homeopathic pills. He was telling, doctor, if you think there is space for 2 homeopathic pills, I would prefer 2 more rasagullas. You know, this is a story to illustrate. Man wants, even if there is, unless it is unbearable suffering, he wants to live.
Yeah.
And people are living, and he wants to live. You go to all the poorer countries, Nigeria or Somalia or all those countries, how much these people are suffering, dirty water and all those things. So, if you ask them, they look as though they are quite happy. If nobody kills them, even though with all suffering, within that itself they are as happy as we are or anybody else, or as unhappy. That is the human nature. But suddenly if you are transported from this situation to that situation, it appears to be intolerable. But man is ready to tolerate any circumstance provided
he's alive.
You know how these slaves, when they were being transported in that bunker or whatever you call it, filth and all that, many used to die, but many could die, but still man wants to live. This was a phenomena observed by Viktor Frankl in Nazi concentration camps. That is where he has written that beautiful book, that the Logo Theory. A man, if he finds meaning in life, then he under any most horrible conditions, he will live happily. But he should find meaning in life. Viktor Frankl, beautiful book. So he was a psychiatrist. Wonderful. What is the point we are discussing? It is, why do we want to live? Why do we want to know? Why do we want to be happy? Because that is our nature. This deathlessness, this all-knowingness, omniscience, and then this ananda, swarupa. This is our swarupa. And that is the answer gives. Somehow the memory is there. I am Satchidananda. And even though my present condition contradicts that condition, still that memory persists. And that memory will not die until we regain back. Because a memory, let us briefly discuss, what is a memory?
What has happened before.
It is a past experience. Subtle form. You know, you have eaten something, that memory is there. A memory, there can be no memory without any
experience.
You see the point? So, the experience in the form, in a subtle digital form, is called
memory.
That's why we can recall any number of times. Once, first time, you have to make the file. But afterwards, any number of times, you can use it, edit it, and all that. But you can delete it. Yeah. Even if you delete it, it will be there. There are tools to recover it. Undo or something like, not undo, recover damaged, deleted files and all that. Anyway, what is the point we are discussing here? Why is this persistent memory? I want to live, I want to live, I want to live, because that is our true divine nature. Now, today, this was what Prajapati wanted to tell. What is the point we have discussed? This is the nature of the waking state, waking jagradavastha. What is the usefulness of this jagradavastha? Because this is not the only state. Why do we say it is jagradavastha in comparison with dream state and dreamless state? The moment we bring in those, our delusion or illusion that this is the only reality, that breaks. It is a changing reality. If it is something changing, that is not
reality.
This is from one point of view. Another point of view, that if this is the reality, we must be quite happy. Are you happy?
No.
No man is happy. Because, how do you know? Because he goes into dream state. Why does he go into dream state? To escape?
Escape his reality.
From the state, unhappy state of reality, he goes into that state. And to even escape further, he goes into
deep sleep.
Because that is a state where you can forget God also. You see, it is everyday experience. So, why is this analysis? Oh man, you are trying to seek the self which is birthless, old ageless, diseaseless and deathless. That means that which denies all the sixfold change, and where all your desires are fulfilled. This was the announcement. So, if this is the self you are seeking, this analysis is not for non-seekers. This analysis is for
seekers.
Then, you are experiencing it. So, but you take it for granted this is true. If it is true, you cannot be a seeker. So, that means it is not. If your analysis shows you that this is not true, if this is not true, can you be happy with that which is not true? You have to find out that one. So, what happened? Prajapati taught this and they understood this and they went back, they thought they understood, went back. What is that? The jagradavastha alone is real. Means this body alone is real. Why do I say that? If the whole world is real, why do I say my body is real? The existence of the whole world depends upon what? Upon my body. If I don't see, then that doesn't exist. This is the truth. So, if this is the truth, if this is the reality, then you must be supremely happy forever. But you are not happy. Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to why do you want to be happy? Why do you want to divorce?
To be happy. More happy.
Yeah. More happy. Oh, is it so? Does Kumar know that? He knows it. He is waiting for an offer. Yeah. So, you see, what is the point? We are, Prajapati was telling. First point is, this teaching is meant only for real seekers, not worldly people. Second point is, he is taking them not through some visionary teaching, but normal day-to-day experience. He is making them a witness. If you want to analyze something, then what do you need to do? To become separate from this. So stand aside. And standing aside itself means you are not what you are analyzing. You are different from what you are analyzing. That means you are not waking state. Here's the point. Oh, if I am not the waking state, I know that there is a dream state, there is a dreamless state. So if I am not the waking state, I must be one of the other two. Let us find out which one that one is. Yeah. So that is the analysis that comes. So by this analysis, it is established that what you call reality is not this waking state. Waking state means body. Because this is the nature of the body, this lasts only for a short time, this is made out of these elements, it is totally dependent upon these elements, and this is the situation. Once this is understood, then immediately that, oh, this is what I thought reality, but now I know it is not. So it must be something else. What happened to Virojana? He accepted it as the total reality went, and he is still in that state. Most of the humanity is in that state only. But Indra, he heard it, Shravana. Then he did Manana. And then he understood. Then he came back. And Prajapati said, your analysis is correct. But your understanding capacity is not. Therefore, live for another 32 years preparing your mind. The Upanishad doesn't say what he did. We presume, first time also, he must have been practicing like first time, some upasanas, etc., preparing his body, mind, etc. Not simply sitting 32 years. Yeah. So this what he did, and then he came back. Then Prajapati says, now we are ready for the next step, which we will discuss on which day? Monday?
Yeah.
Monday. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay. If you have got any questions.
When you say that most of humanity of the world is in this, where they consider this to be true as a real state, is that because of Maya plus lack of reflection?
That is called Maya.
Okay.
Lack of reflection is called Maya. They are quite satisfied. But they also, they are not fools. They are also somewhat aware, if not 100% aware, or I would say they are aware of the changefulness of this world. Atriptikara. Nobody is satisfied with what one has, isn't it? That is a common experience. But they do not have that faith. Now, when we do not seek something, there could be two reasons for it. We know there is something better. Mm-hmm. We know this is not satisfactory. So why we do not seek something better? There could be two reasons.
We don't know of it.
The first reason is we don't know that there is something better state. Right. So if we don't, so long as we don't know, we have no option but to somehow adjust ourselves with it. Second reason, even more important reason is, somehow we may know there is another state. But two problems are there. One problem is, we are so deeply attached to this present situation, to change ourselves into the new, to go to the new situation, we have to go. Now, the problem that comes there is, suppose there are two rooms. This room is not satisfactory. The other room is very satisfactory. So, all that we need to do is a step from this room into the other room. But unfortunately, this so-called satisfactory reality is not like that. So, if there is a state where ito bhrashtaha, tito nashtaha, tato bhrashtaha. The moment you step out of this, you have lost this and you have not gained that. That in-between state is a most painful state.
So, we are not willing to be in that state.
No, even if we are willing, we are unable to cope with this situation. So, these are the second, first reason I gave, we don't know whether there is a better state. We say, we are Vedantins, we have studied about, so how many people have, how many of you are ready to go to Swargaloka? That's why Swamiji's, that story is very, very important story. Humorous, he used to tell humorous story. In a church, discussion was going on, a priest was preaching, there is a kingdom of heaven, wonderful. So he got worked himself by his own speech. Then he said, all those who want to go to heaven, come to the left side. And all rushed excepting one fellow. So the priest glared at him and said, don't you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. Why are you not coming to the left? Oh, I thought you are going right now. Yeah, I want to go, but not right now.
Yeah.
So after all, you know, I bring up my grandchildren and get them married and have their children also, and if possible, perform their marriage also. And then, maybe I am ready to go to the other world. This is our condition. What is it? Ramakrishna says, there is no vyakulata. We believe in God, but there is no vyakulata. There is no urgency there. Aste aste dhire suste. We will go. That is the reason. What is the other reason? Intense attachment. So, first if we want to go to that room, we have to leave this room. And we are not ready to leave this. And unfortunately, the other room is not visible. It is an invisible room.
What is it? Could it also be that not enough belief in oneself is there that I can really make it there?
All these are combined. All these are combined. Okay, what is your question?
My question is the basic assumption that why do you say that reality won't change? And how do you know that reality won't change?
Oh, this is not a question at all. This is experience. You are growing up. Is that a question or is it imagination or is it reality? You are changing, isn't it?
Yes.
Now you are young, but after a few years you won't be young any longer. And do you really wish that situation?
If I accept it, I'll be prepared.
But don't say if. Will you really accept it if you have a choice?
If I think that I don't have a choice, then I will.
The question of your accepting or non-accepting doesn't arise there. You see, have you ever read this, what is that, Asterix? It's very wonderful thing is there. You know, that Caesar conquered the whole world, excepting one small Gaulish village. So for some reason, his soldiers were terribly frightened every time they get beaten up. So one general decided that there is a secret. How these people are so strong? So he said, I want some volunteers. I want some volunteers to disguise themselves as Gauls, go to that village, find out the secret. You know that druid would make some
magic potion.
Yeah. See? Quick the answer. So nobody was, you know, you have to see that cartoon. Everybody, you know, instead of standing, the legs are there, the head is here.
Nobody wants.
So the general says, you, thank you for volunteering. Our accepting old age is like, thank you for volunteering. It's like that. The point is, we made certain conditions of reality. What is the first thing? Unchanged, not non-changing, isn't it? That is not the only criteria. It must be a condition which is the happiest condition. If it is unhappy condition, unchanging, do you think that reality is acceptable? It must be. So, a condition which we never wish it to change. Which condition we don't want to change? When we are 100% happy, we never want to change it. Where do we get that kind of situation here?
When you are a kid,
you forgot how many things were. If your doll is broken, your heart is broken. If your heart is not broken, that means you never had a doll. That is the situation. No, a kid is very, very eager to beat other kids. Suppose you as a kid are beaten by another kid. Are you a happy kid? Actually, we don't call you a kid. We call you kidney. Do you see the point? You see, we have forgotten how many times we wept when we are kids because something happened. A doll broken or somebody's snatched it away or somebody had beaten us, etc. Is it not? Now it appears because we forgot, whatever we forget, how happy we were at that time.
I don't seem to be happy. I mean, in general, right now I'm currently happy with the situation and for the most part. I can see that there are some problems. Okay, as you said, with this tapas, I can say willfully I'm supposed to take this suffering, and if I'm prepared for it, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to stay for another.
No. The situation is, we are doing tapasya because it is inevitable. But do you wish it to be inevitable? Don't you naturally wish that I do not need to do tapasya? Let it be a very happy situation.
No, actually it might be boring, right? If you are always happy.
If it is boring, you are not happy. Isn't it?
I mean, one state of emotion for all.
No. You are evading. If it is a happy situation, it is not a boring situation. If it is a boring situation, it is not. Is it right? If you are a very happy person, then you would never wish it to be changed. Because when do you wish some situation to be changed?
When you don't like what is happening.
When you are bored with it. Not only when you are unhappy about it, but when you are not necessarily, you have to be unhappy. Suppose you like sweets, as an example. And all the 24 hours you are supplied best sweets. Will you be happy person? You will be very bored person. It is the nature of our life that the present happiness is always boring, even if it is happy situation. Unhappy situation, of course we want to change. Both we want to change. What is it that you want to change? You want to be happy. If you are happy, why do you want to change that situation? The moment you say, I want to change that situation, that means you are not happy with that situation. You see, this is inbuilt within ourselves. But there is a state, reaching which you would never even think. There is no thinking there. You will be that. And that is what we call God or reality, truth, Brahman, whatever name.
My question is, you said earlier, that Swargaloka, God has created Swargaloka. But people who are dead are supposed to, good people go there.
Only non, good people, dharmic people go there. Yeah.
Do we meet our parents or somebody who has passed away there? Because that is the belief I hear from some of my other friends here.
Yeah, we say that we do meet. But rationality doesn't allow us to say that. See, supposing your parents are there, and suppose you don't recognize them, or you don't even remember them. When you don't remember something, does it matter whether you meet them or not meet them? The thing is, nothing is unchangeable. Even if you go to heaven also, do you see what I am talking about? Will you go exactly like this?
I don't know.
You know, let us imagine, here is a person, he is 100 years old, led very good life, he died. My question to any one of you, at which age point he wants to be seen in the heaven?
That is true.
You see, do you see the point? We are not sure. The point is not that. The point is, remembrance and everything will go under the carpet. When you are happy, you don't remember anything. If you understand that psychology, then you are in a better position to understand what is Swargaloka. Swargaloka means a very happy place. A happy place is where you will not remember anything. When you don't remember anything, where is the question of whether you are parent or anything? You see, okay, let us analyze. Very important point. Why do you want to meet your parents? No, you have to think. Why are you particular? You want to meet your parents, not somebody else's parents. Why? Attachment comes to whom? No. When does attachment come?
When you love something. When you
that something means you are expecting someone who truly love you and whom also you love. Right?
Yeah.
Now imagine Swargaloka is a place where everyone loves you, you also love everyone. In which case can you make a distinction and say, these are my parents and these are not my parents? That is called Swargaloka is a place where you are happy whether there is a thousand of your people or a thousand of somebody else. It makes no difference. You are happy because you love everybody. This is another. Love means, happiness means love.
Yeah.
Love means happiness. So if you love, anyone who you love is your father, mother, your son, your grandfather, whatever name you choose to call it, isn't it? That is the point we are talking about. It is a state of mind. But because whenever we are happy, there is an object through which alone we are able to get some happiness. And we get attached to those objects. Naturally, when we are young, our happiness comes from whom?
Yeah.
From our parents. Suppose you don't get happiness from your parents, will you love your parents? We don't do. If you ask me that question, I will tell I won't love. They are not my parents. Whoever love me and give me happiness, they are only my parents, not anybody else. If you understand this, wherever you get happiness, that is your mother, father, whatever you call it. In fact, the psychology of happiness is when you don't remember anything, you go beyond time and space. That is happiness. That's why time doesn't count when you are happy, it passes. But when you are unhappy, time counts. When we are old, time counts very much. That is the truth.
Maharaj, the reason I ask that question is because people here, they believe that they are going to meet their any dear persons that they have lost,
maybe yes, a
sister,
yes,
or a brother or a parent.
Yeah. I understand that.
That is the I didn't believe in it,
yeah,
until I keep hearing from others.
That, yeah.
But in Mormon churches, they believe that you, yeah, have your family here and all the same.
Not only Mormon church, I think others too. They think that when they go to heaven, they
will meet. I think I understand
that.
Anyway. If they understand the psychology we discussed, then they will not want. Suppose just as an imaginary, you know, there is a father, there is a mother. And then the father has got a huge mustache. Imagine, a huge mustache and beard, very stiff beard. And this baby is born. And whenever the father wants to show his love, the baby cries. Imagine. So then the baby had lost, the father dies. But the memory is there, my father loves me very much like that. And then the baby wishes to meet those same parents. Would she be happy when he hugs her? And then sister would say, why the hell did I want to meet my father? You see, people are very crude. They have no thinking ability. That is why they want to meet the same parents there also. Swamiji used to make fun, you know, as in, through media, you can get the ancestors to come. So one fellow went to a medium. And he called my father, who loved me very much, I want to see. The father came. Oh, this fellow burst into tears. Oh, father, how much have you changed? Previously, there was one small mole. And now here, this in Swargaloka, the mole has grown so big. You understand? Thus, in the Swargaloka, the mole grew and grew and grew. He has become almost unrecognizable. So the seance was over, and then Swamiji was telling, the wife came and complained, look at this injustice, I make all the ghosts and my husband takes away all the money. So how much foolish we are. Even in Swargaloka also, we want to have the same parents. If they are loving parents, they are okay. But the thing is, do you want to keep them in the same way? Perhaps they don't like you. You understand? We are only seeing, perhaps they say, we never want to see your face again in this life.
They use it as a coping response.
Yeah, I think I understand why they say, like, here our philosophy is you will get ultimate happiness. But for some person whose ultimate happiness is just being with the family, it is just a way to say, hey.
No, that's not the point. The point is it a fact that you go and meet them? Hinduism doesn't believe it. You know why? Supposing they are not evolved souls. Swargaloka is not the highest point for us. God is our highest point. Suppose they have become wiser because they are a bit older. So they say, we had too much attachment to our children. We do not wish to have attachment. Maybe he has become a Ramakrishna Mission Swami. He wants to meet these fellows with me. Okay, now let us go to this Swargaloka. Okay.